Love that we are the church that just loves relationship, have a good time with one another, fellowship. That's awesome, awesome, awesome. That's what we encourage. So that's one of our core values is relationship. So that's amazing. And just so you know, for those of you who don't know, my name is Frankie. I'm one of the pastors here at Victory Life Church. And our very own campus lead pastor, Pastor Stan Roberts and Mrs. Kathy, they are away out of town. His granddaughter just graduated from high school, so they're celebrating with family and having some good R&R. So that's awesome. And also, our very own also, Pastor Christian and Pastor Kathy McDaniel, they just had another baby, a beautiful little girl. So they're out. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it seems like everyone's having children around here. And I'll meet my wife down front, beautiful lady. We're pregnant. She's pregnant. I say we're, but you know, we're one. I mean, that would be kind of weird, but... But yeah, so our baby girl's due in August, and we're excited. It's a new journey, a great start, you know. Man, many people, a lot of times they ask me, like, man, are you nervous? Are you scared? And, I guess that could be kind of the emotions you go through. But at the same time, you know, I like to stand on the Word of God and just know and believe that I have everything I need to raise my children, which is God's truth and God's Spirit living on the inside of me. And so I'm excited for that new journey. It's going to be awesome. So I don't allow my mind to stray from those certain things because I know who I believe in and I know what I believe in and I know where I stand and that's where I'm going to stand. So, but I'm not going to preach on that today. We are preaching on our mind and we are talking today about our consciousness and sometimes how, man, if you let it, it will take control of your life. You know, I'm a firm believer that we're simply just supposed to allow our lives to be submitted to Christ and then from there be led by Him. Because as you know, when you're born again, you become just that. You become born again, fathered by God Himself, which means that your life now is no longer your own. Your life is hidden in Christ. You know, I don't know if you know this, but our lives as Christians and as believers are not supposed to be selfish. Our lives are supposed to be solely towards people. And loving people. And our lives are supposed to look just like the life of Jesus. You know, church, sometimes I want to challenge you to think about some of the things that you say. I want to challenge you to think about some of the things that go on in your mind. And my challenge to you is to put those same words or thoughts in the mouth or mind of Jesus. And if they sound funny, then it's obviously not right. Right? Because our conscience, if you let it, will defeat you. Our conscience sometimes is the greatest battle and struggle that we go through in life because the enemy knows that if he can win you here, then he's won. He's got it. So sometimes we need our heads cut off and to be submitted to Christ because sometimes our heads right here, what's between our ears, is our biggest enemy. The greatest. So today, man, we're just going to touch on that. This graphic here called Mind Games, it's beautiful. My little sister made this on Photoshop. She's amazing, Monica. So, man, if you need something, you know, like, hey, I mean, this is like a shout-out, but, you know, she's still in college, but just, you know, holler at her. She can make you something for your business or whatever. Thank you, little sis. Man, let's go ahead and let's dive in into the book of Romans if you're following along. Chapter 7, and it'll be, there we go. Yep, sorry, it's a little slow this morning. Verse 15, and it says, I'm a mystery to myself. Anyone else? Just me, maybe? I'm a mystery to myself, for I want to do what is right, but end up doing what my moral instincts condemn, right? So, I mean, you ever notice that? So many times I want to do what's right, or man, I need to do it, and then you just don't do it. So we do what our moral instincts condemn. That's just kind of the process of life, right? So as we continue, it says, and if my behavior is not in line with my desire, my conscience still confirms the excellence of the law. And so basically what that's saying is that when you want to do good but you're not doing good, it makes a clear point that the law of God is correct, that it's actually pure and holy. So, and if you've been coming with us on Sundays, listening to Pastor Dwayne's message over the past few weeks, he's been talking about being made free from the law. And this is what this is talking about as well.
Verse 17. And now I realize that it is no longer my true self. So you see, you've been born again. Okay? So with you wanting to do right and not doing right, that's not your true self doing it. Right? Your true self wants to do right, but there's a war going on the inside of you that's saying no. Okay? So my true self, it is no longer my true self doing it, but the what? The unwelcome, sorry, that was supposed to be for you guys. The unwelcome intruder of sin in my humanity. And that's exactly what sin is in your life. It's an unwelcome intruder. Sin is not supposed to be in your life. Your life is no longer ruled by sin, but by the Spirit of God that's on the inside of you. So if you're ruled by sin, then you don't know who your true self really is. If you think that when you wake up in the morning that you're just sin waiting to happen, then you really don't know who you are. You see, but there's this war going on the inside of us that's constantly tugging back and forth, right and wrong. Right? Blessings and curses. Life or death. Verse 18, for I know that nothing good lives within the flesh of my fallen humanity. Amen. The longings to do what is right are within me, but the willpower is not enough to accomplish it. That's true. That's a struggle. It's right there between your ears. That's the willpower to accomplish it. My lofty desires to do what is good are dashed when I do the things I want to avoid. Verse 20. So if my behavior contradicts my desire to do good, then I must conclude that it is not my true identity doing it, but the unwelcomed intruder of sin. There it is again, right there. The unwelcomed intruder of sin hindering me from being who I really am. So you see, it's the sin that's on the inside of you that hinders you from being who you really are if you allow it. Come on, church. Sin has no power on the inside of you. Sin has no place on the inside of you. Matter of fact, Jesus took your sin and he completely wiped it away, made you sinless. But then, sometimes you ask the question, well, what do you mean, brother? We're always going to sin, but you don't know who you really are then. It's because of Christ that we've been set free. See, and if you think that you're without sin, what you're really saying is that you have no need for the blood that cleanses you from the sin. What you're saying is that, oh, I don't need God. I'm good myself. That's what you're saying. You see, but Jesus come and he said, no. I'm changing all of that. I'm making you brand new. You've been born again. Sin is now only an intruder in your life. You see, you have to wake up and believe that. You got to wake up and believe that, church. Next verse. Through my experience of this principle, I discover that even when I want to do good, evil is ready to sabotage me. See, there it is right there. That's evil. It's trying to sabotage this mic. Sorry. So evil is ready to sabotage me. Truly, deep within my true identity, I love to do what pleases God. Question. Who in here knows what pleases the Father? Thank you. That was too quick, Harlan. You got to give somebody a chance. I'm just kidding. JK. So, no, that's really good. I'm sorry. Yes, faith is what pleases God, right? Faith. Living by faith, having faith in the finished work of the cross. But I discern another power operating in my humanity. Would you look at that? Waging a war against the moral principles of my conscience and bringing me into captivity as a prisoner to the law of sin, this unwelcome intruder in my humanity. So Paul, the Apostle Paul, is saying that he's realizing that there's this war going on the inside of him. It's a war with what's between his ears and a war with the Spirit of God that's now living on the inside of him. You see, yeah, our souls have been cleansed and we've been set free and renewed and restored, but then again, at the same time, we have this flesh that just wants to just not do what's right. There's this constant war. And he sees that. He realizes that. And so in the next verse, it says, what an agonizing situation I am in. So who has the power to rescue this miserable man from the unwelcome intruder of sin and death? I give all my thanks to God, for his mighty power has finally provided a way out through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, that's the only way. That's it. God has provided you a way out from your conscience, from the thoughts that you have in your mind that will play tricks on you. He's provided a way out, and that's only through Jesus. That's not through CNN, MSNBC. That's not Fox News. That's not your latest magazine, your latest article. That's not any of the things that seem right to a man. This has nothing to do with the way that seems right to a man. It's all about the truth of God in your life. So if left to myself, the flesh is aligned with the law of sin, but now my renewed mind is fixed on and submitted to God's righteous principles. See, that's where you have to see. You have to be submitted to God's principles. So you know what you have to do in order to submit? You have to get rid of self. That's just all there is to it. You see, because selfishness and Christianity, they don't mix. You can't be selfish and be a Christian. You can't be selfish and be a believer. Right? Seriously, think about it. Just jumping right back to the very first thing that I said, think about some of the things that we say. Think about some of the way that we treat people. And then let's put that same thing on Jesus and see if he did the same thing. Because, right, our lives are supposed to what? Be transformed into his image. You know, Romans 12:2, what does it say? It says, let your mind be renewed. It says, don't conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. So your biggest battle is your mind. Your biggest struggle is your mind, is your thoughts, your conscience. But we have to renew it every day. We have to constantly tell ourselves who we are and whose we are and live in that way. Every single day. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, here's what it says. For although we live in the natural realm, we don't wage a military campaign. I'm reading another translation in my mind. That's a struggle. Employing human weapons, using manipulations to achieve our aims. Instead, our spiritual weapons are energized with divine power to effectively dismantle the defenses by which people hide. You know what that's called? That's called the stronghold. You know, but this scripture also says that our God is mighty in the pulling down of strongholds. Right, so let's check out what a stronghold really is. It's this, it's a fortress. Anything on which one relies, of the arguments and reasonings by which a disputant, that's us, right, endeavors to fortify his opinion and defend it against his opponent. Well, what are you saying, Frankie? Okay, here's what I'm saying, is that sometimes we allow the thoughts in our mind to wage war with our spirit. We believe our thoughts, therefore thought by thought, what we do is we build a stronghold against the truth of the Word of God that's on the inside of us. Because sometimes in our lives, moments arise and we have to ask ourselves, do we really believe in what we say we believe in? I'm going to say this next part in love, church. This really is in love, okay? And this is a struggle for everyone. This is not just, this is a struggle for everyone. But here's the deal. It's sometimes in our lives, things happen that we don't plan to happen. Right? That just happens, right? Because what evil is just ready to sabotage at any moment. You see, but sometimes when things happen, like, you know, we lose our jobs, we get a negative diagnosis, things just happen. right? And so what we do is we text everybody and their mama, and we, oh my God, we need to pray right now. Y'all just get in your prayer circles, and we got to do this, and we need to put, you know, come on, right? So I'm going to be real honest with you, church. Listen, what that is called right there is not faith. That's called fear. But what do you mean we're getting people to pray? But what you're doing is you're fretting and you're worrying about it and you're stressed out because this and that and no, they said this and not. You know, but do we really believe in what we say we believe in? Because your conscience, that's a tough one. It's easy to believe what doctors say. It's easy to believe what people say. It's easy to, you know what I mean? It's super easy to do those things. The hardest part is truly believing in the Word of God and the truth that's in you and not building a stronghold against it, but building a stronghold in the truth so that nothing else can come against you, right? That's how it should be. That's how it should be. Thanks, Scott. We're going to continue in 2 Corinthians. We can demolish every deceptive fantasy. Every thought, everything that's not true, every deceptive fantasy that opposes God, and break through every arrogant attitude that is raised up in defiance of the true knowledge of God. We capture like prisoners of war every thought and insist that it bow in obedience to the Anointed One. What does that mean, church? That means that every time that your mind or that your conscience places a lie in your head, you take that thought captive and you make it submit to the Word of God. That's what that means. So yeah, I know what the reports say, but you take those thoughts captive and you submit it to the Word of God. Yeah, well, I know you just lost your job and you don't know what else you're going to do, but still you take those thoughts captives of worry and fear and doubt and you submit it to the Word of God. Come on, we have to build strongholds in our life, not against God, but against the enemy, against ourselves. That's what we have to do. We've got to take every thought captive. Look here in 1 John. Whenever our hearts make us feel guilty and remind us of our failures, we know that God is much greater and more merciful than our conscience. Come on, there's a constant war. A constant war on the inside of you. And your conscience, church, man, your conscience, it'll eat you alive. Right? Your conscience will eat you up. Why? Because your conscience reminds you of your guilt. What does guilt mean? Guilt means you believe you're not forgiven. Your conscience will tell you that it will remind you of all your failures. Anyone? Right? Your conscience will tear you up. Your conscience has no mercy against you at all. That's why we have to submit everything under the Word of God. So we know that God is much greater and more merciful than our conscience. And He knows everything there is to know about us. That's why, church, that's why we have to know the truth of the Word of God. Because Scripture says, who is he that overcomes the world and has victory? Scripture says that he who believes in Jesus. He who has faith in the Son of God, that's the one who overcomes and has victory. And that's like in 1 John chapter 4. I think that's what it is. It's there somewhere. But so he knows everything there is to know about us. God knows our heart. My delightfully loved friends, when our hearts don't condemn us, so if you think about this here, right? So we just went from our conscience that's tearing us apart, but God is so much greater than that. But he's saying, look, if your heart doesn't condemn you, and check this out, condemnation, your heart will do that. So your heart will tell you that you're still worthy of judgment. First, it'll say that you're guilty, which you're not forgiven. Then it'll say that you're worthy of judgment, which is condemnation. And then that leads to shame, which says it's still who you are. Now, none of that is true, right? Because we're born again. So even when you have thoughts in your mind, like, you know, maybe you've been set free of an addiction, maybe you've been set free of whatever it could be in your life, but yet these thoughts come back to you. Maybe, Let's take it further. Maybe you have dreams about the things that you used to do that you're not proud of. Listen, church, just because you have those dreams or thoughts, that doesn't mean that's still who you are. It's only if you identify with that. You see, because if it were me, check this out, if it were me and I had dreams about someone that I'm not and no longer am, then I'm going to wake up and I'm going to thank God for who he is and what he did through me. I'm not going to feel remorse for the things that I used to do. Right? So that's why you can't just wake up thinking that you're sin waiting to happen. You can't just wake up thinking that you're a failure waiting to happen. Well, we're just going to mess up every day and it's okay because we're all just forgiven sinners and that's all we're ever going to be, right? Wrong. No, we're not just forgiven sinners. We've been bought with the blood of Jesus. We're redeemed. He restored everything back. We're sons and daughters. Okay? So if you think that you're just a forgiven sinner, then you don't know who you really are. You're so much more than just a forgiven sinner. God, you're redeemed, restored, set free, right? So we ought to live like it. Man, live like you know that you're a son or a daughter. Live like you know that you have the victory every single day, regardless of what you face. So what does that mean? That means that you don't let people to determine how you're going to be on that day by the way that they treat you. Right? Because what? Jesus is Lord, right? Not people. So I'm going to go with God on this one. So I'm not going to allow anyone to determine my day, or I'm not going to allow anyone to determine how I'm going to be. Okay? That's faith. Where am I? Verse 22? Maybe. Did I read that last one? Did I? Okay, no, I didn't finish it. Oh, so we have bold freedom to speak face to face with God. And that's awesome because whenever your heart is not condemned, see, so here's the thing, church. When your heart doesn't condemn you, that means that you can stand face to face before God. That means that, okay, though you may have failed today, you can still go before the Father and have face to face communion with him. What's that called? That's called faith. That's called knowing who you are, knowing where you stand and believing in who you say you believe in. It's called knowing that you're a son and a daughter. Right? Because you know that you're not guilty. You know that you're not condemned. And you know that you're not shameful. So I'm going to stand before God face to face. And whatever we ask of him, we receive. Because he keeps his commands. Sorry, he does keep his commands, but we also do keep his commands. And by our beautiful intentions, we continue to do what brings pleasure to him. Again, what do we do that pleases God? Have faith. Have faith in what? Faith in the finished work. Faith that you're a son or a daughter. Faith that you have the victory, that you already win. We've just got to get past our mind. So these are his commands, that we continually place our trust in the name of his son, Jesus. That means to have faith and to believe what you say it is that you believe in. Okay? And also, that we keep loving one another just as he has commanded us. Again, loving one another, that means being selfless. Remember, just read this, read all of 1 John. It will really, your heart will remind you really quickly about how well you're not doing in life if you read 1 John. Okay? See, but this is amazing because loving one another, that's just being selfless. That's seeing your brother or sister in need and helping them. See, but here's the thing. When you do things like that, that means that you know your recreated identity. That means that you're walking in faith. See, walking in faith is not just praying and believing and seeing what you pray for. No. Walking in faith in Jesus means that your life reflects who Christ is. Plain and simple. So that's why I won't believe the thoughts that are in my mind. You know, church, I went through this time. It was an awful time for me, actually. Because here I thought, yeah, man, like, I'm doing great. You know, me and Jesus, we're cool, we're buds, we hang out, we shoot the ball some, you know, we do things. And then I start having these thoughts in my head, very ungodly thoughts, okay? And some of these thoughts were even really good thoughts, like, that's pretty good. You see, but if I didn't truly know who I was in that moment, then yeah, I would have bought a lie. You see, but in that moment, I knew, no, this isn't right. This is not who I am. And I reminded myself of who I was. I spoke with my wife about it. We then felt, okay, well, we need to tell some of our best friends about this because I want them to know and we can all just agree on this, right? Well, since that day, I haven't had a vain thought like that before. And so the truth that I want to tell you today is that maybe you're looking for freedom. Maybe some of you want freedom in your life. Maybe you do have bad thoughts. Maybe you do have vain thoughts. Maybe your heart does condemn you. Maybe it does remind you of your failures. Maybe, you know what I mean, just things like that. But what I'm saying is if you want true freedom from those things, church, listen, freedom doesn't come whenever things like that stop in your life. See, everybody thinks that, oh, I'll be free as soon as I stop doing this or as soon as this stops, and you know. But true freedom is whenever you stop believing that things like that are true. Because thoughts, things like that, those are going to come. Those are going to happen. But that's when you stand up, you take every thought captive and put it under the obedience of Jesus Christ, and then you stand. Sometimes we have to remind ourselves, remind our thoughts here, this is who I am. That's true freedom. See, some of you think you're not free because you still have thoughts, or you still have dreams. Or you still want to. But that's all the struggle that the Apostle Paul was talking about. He says, no, just stop believing they're true. That's an intruder. It's not supposed to be in you. Tell it to leave. Come on, church, we have to stand. We live in a world today that is confused. So confused. There are Christians that are on TV that don't know truth, that are scared to stand up for God's word and his principles. Come on, that can't be us. We have to defeat those thoughts. We have to take every thought captive. Submit it to God and to his obedience. Colossians, right? Yep, cool. Colossians chapter 1. Look, we're going to get out of here early today. Whoop, whoop. Sorry, that's okay. Verse 21. Even though you were once distant from him, even though you were once distant from him, living in the shadows of your evil thoughts and actions. So at one point, church, we were alienated from God with evil thoughts and evil actions. But check this out. He reconnected you back to himself. Amen. God restored it. But I still have evil thoughts. God restored it. But sometimes the things that I do are evil. God restored it. Remember, it's a mind game. We have to constantly remind ourselves, this is an intruder. It's not supposed to be there. So stop listening to it. Come on, God restored it. Here's how you should truly see yourself, and here's what you should truly believe about who you are, right here, okay? So he reconnected you back to himself. He released his supernatural peace to you through the sacrifice of his own body as the sin payment on your behalf, so that you would dwell in his presence. And now, there is nothing between you and the Father God, for he sees you as holy, flawless, and restored. That right there sums it up. That right there deserves it all. This right here, this is when you wake up every day, right here, I thank you, God, that you see me holy, flawless, restored, above reproach, your son, your daughter. Man, that's a lot better way to live than, well, I guess I'm just going to go to work today and, you know, my boss is really after me and I got to find another job. Put those words in the mouth of Jesus. Think about it, church. Think about it. I mean, that's it. That's literally, that's it. But that's it. You know, here's the thing, church, is we have to believe it, okay? We have to believe these things, plain and simple. Whatever comes up in your life, whatever moments or things, issues that you have to believe what it is that you say you believe in and who you say you believe in. You choose. You choose. So I'm going to choose today to believe in this. I'm going to choose today that I have another scripture. If indeed, you like how I just rolled into that one? It's natural. I don't know. I got it. It's natural. Verse 23, this is, I'm not fully done yet, I guess. You continue to advance. And so this is where it's important, okay? So God has restored us, made us blameless, holy, and above reproach before him. Boom, right? But he said, if indeed you continue to advance in faith. Well, it takes faith to please God. It takes faith to believe in his word. It takes faith to live this out. So in order for you to keep standing before God with confidence, you have to have faith knowing that you're holy, blameless, righteous, and above reproach. That's who you are. You have to believe it. So assured of a firm foundation to grow upon, never to be shaken, never to be shaken, because sometimes our world shakes. So, but, you know, we need to, I'm not going to do it. Sometimes we just need to shake the dust off, okay? So never to be shaken from the hope of the gospel you have believed in. So what gospel is it that you believe in? I'm going to go with the one that leaves me holy and blameless and righteous and above reproach. Because that's the gospel. That's the true gospel. Is being perfected in the eyes of Christ. Is when God sees you, he sees Jesus, because our lives are hidden in Christ. So when he sees you, he doesn't see sin, he sees his son. That's the way that we're supposed to live. And this is the glorious news I preach all over the world. And this is the glorious news that I'll preach every single day of my life to anyone and everyone. Because I want people to experience the same amount of freedom that I live with. And the thing is, church, is all of this is not a way to sin and get away with it. All of this is not just a way to live and be free and happy and go lucky and everything is Mary and Jesus and God and, you know. So what I'm saying is, look, I'm trying to help you live a life that's truly free. Help you live a life that where you can see yourself how God truly sees you. Because only then can you see other people in the exact same way. You see, because a lot of the times we judge others with our own eyes. And we don't judge everyone else with the eyes of Jesus. Because if we saw people with the eyes of Jesus, we would truly know who they are, and who they were created to be. So that when they are messing up, when they are stumbling, when they are going a different direction than we hope they would, we can call them back to the Father as ministers of the gospel, right? Because that's what we're called to be in 2 Corinthians, right? Chapter 5. We are called to be ministers of the gospel, right? Ambassadors for Christ. What does that mean? That we have a power and a hope on the inside of us that can pull people back into the kingdom. But we have to see ourselves for how God sees us, or else we won't see other people for how God sees them. It's all in your mind. It's all a mind game. It's a thought process. You have to renew your mind. Like, you have to seriously think these things. It doesn't always happen, but it's just something that we do because it's who we are. Come on, let's filter our lives through Jesus. And all the other stuff, just let it be. Just let it be. I'm going with Jesus. I'm going to be a son. I'm going to live as a son. Okay? Awesome. Well, let's stand to our feet.